Welcome to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Ain't another place that has got more bombast. Run past your mom, dad's listening to Tomcast. Talking everything to make you sad. We don't want that. We're here to make you smile. Put your mind at ease. Peace, love, and bloom, and always praise Keanu Reeves. This what we about. Get some weed and now. We'll talk until we can't no more, and then we peacing out. Alright, let's go. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. It's the Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast. Penny Bloom Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome in to the Penny Bloom Podcast. Today, we continue our coverage of the third and final season of The Bad Batch. Today is episodes 10 and 11, Identity Crisis and Point of No Return. I am Colton Robertson. I am joined by Joseph George. What's up, homie?
Oh, what up, what up? Always a pleasure to be here.
Fuck!
Yeah. Are you mad? Are you pissed?
Yeah.
No, I'm pissed. I'm so happy. Oh, whenever I saw him on screen. Oh, it was the most... It was like... You know,
it's just there's already so much about these two episodes to leave you just not happy. You know, like there's nothing like there's redeeming qualities. It's good. You know, it's a good couple episodes. But goddamn, am I not happy after either of them? And just sprinkle salt on the fucking wound. Mm. How about you give me a little bit of Toto? So let's start off with this. Let's start off with this bullshit. Fuck Cad Bane. Mm-hmm. Fuck Toto. I hate both of their bitch asses. I hope both of them die. I know Cad Bane does die, but Toto ain't in the Book of Boba Fett. I hope we see that happen. Mm-hmm. I hope we watch that motherfucker die. Mm-hmm. I hate him.
We're opening this can of worms again, baby. Oh, Miles would be proud. You know, Miles was... Or was
this
Miles
is for
on
Kyler.
My side?
This
Kyler
is for
was
KBZ.
On your side.
This
I
is
think.
For KBZ,
yeah.
Kyler Barnett,
that's
my
right.
boy. You know what it is. Fuck Toto till the day I die.
Okay, that's right.
There's not a single Star Wars character I dislike more than Toto.
And do we know why? No.
Nope.
You know, at Cad Bane, it would make more sense in my head to hate the guy capturing these kids and giving them to the Empire. And
oh, I don't like him either.
Toto, you know, he's... He's kind of like Emery, you know, or like a Nollis. He's just along for the ride. He just happens to be the droid for quite the wrong guy. You know, he's just counting the money. You know, if you put all the hatred aside for Toto, the little toy pickup, you know, when he's like, oh, I did it. You know, it's like, I'm not a nanny droid or whatever, you know, and then he just gives the toy. The baby's like, oh, okay,
no,
I'll
here's
shut
the
up
thing.
Now.
Here's the thing. He's just a fucking idiot. That's my beef with Toto. He's stupid as shit. There's no droid in Star Wars more dumb than Toto.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're a droid, bro. You're a computer. Figure it out.
Yes, but they are, like, kind of sponges of their owners, you know? Or not owner. That's, like, that seems kind of wrong.
No, but they are.
Yeah. And, like, I guess, like, Chopper is kind of singular and R2. Like, I guess, like, R2 kind of mimics Anakin, though. You know, at some point, like, they kind of mimic their masters or their people that they're kind of with sometimes. BB-8, kind of like a Poe, you
I'm
know.
I'm just saying, you know, you look at the slate of droids we've got across Star Wars. You got L3 and Solo, K2SO and mm-hmm. Rogue One, R2, C-3PO. C-3PO is an annoying piece of shit, but he ain't stupid. He's not a fucking idiot like Toto is. We're going to go ahead and cue the noise on this one, by the way. This is for KBZ, Kyla mm-hmm. Barnett. But,
oh, yeah.
Fucking Chopper, fucking every other droid that's been in the Bad Batch, you know? This dude's just a piece of shit. Fuck Toto till the day I die.
But look at his master versus every other master. Every other master
no,
is
no.
cool.
And I get that.
Lando
no.
is, you know, one of them. That's a, we have
hey,
cool
I get
people.
It. I get it. I do. Either we're given the droids credit for their singularity, or they are sponges, you know? And if they are sponges, fuck Toto. If they're singular, fuck Toto.
Okay. Okay. Toto is just a, it's kind of like AZ, you know? It's just, I wish I had their movement capabilities. I wish I could just kind of float anywhere I want.
Toto can float cool.
And that's kind
of
the only
cool
thing. Like, really, the only reason I love Toto is to counter you guys because of the hatred is so hard.
And the only reason I hate Toto is because of that initial argument we had about Toto.
Yeah.
Our animosity towards Toto wasn't even that strong. And then we had that conversation and it just amplified it like crazy. Yeah. So now for those not in the know, I will explain the inside joke from season one of The Bad Batch, I'm assuming, when Toto showed up. Back when the show was me, Joe, Kyler Barnett, and Miles Buttress doing the Bad Batch bitches. We decided for some reason we were going to take factions for against Toto and for Toto. And so I just staunchly have remained anti-Toto for the bit. But it's grown into a real thing. I genuinely despise Toto.
Yeah. I mean, it became a moment in itself. Whenever I saw Cad Bane, I was like, oh please. I was like, you know, please. Or did Toto come first? I guess I
no,
don't...
Toto didn't come first. Okay. Here's how forgettable Toto is. Here's how fucking useless Toto is. Mm-hmm. I don't even think of him when Cad Bane shows up. That's how much I don't care
really?
About Toto.
So you weren't that in that much hatred. You didn't have that much hatred where you're like, oh no, please.
No, I
don't
mean like
I
don't like Cad Bane. I think he's a good character. I think he's an interesting bounty hunter. That shit's cool. But he's a piece of shit. You know, like he is a bounty hunter's bounty hunter. That is what he does. And when you show us this tiny baby who is about to get captured and you show the little spurs clinking up, I'm like, well, fucking Cad Bane, you piece of shit. You've got no soul, no idea of what. So like, it's fuck Cad Bane. And then Toto comes on and it's just like, how are you going to have no morals and then just the most annoying piece of shit droid ever also?
Fair. You know what? Yeah, Cad Bane does suck.
Okay.
Cad Bane does suck. We can in
yeah. I'll put Toto aside now. It is fine. It's fine.
Boba Fett was in this business, right? Is he in this business right now? Like, I guess now he's young, but like eventually, like, are they still doing this at the time where he's bounty hunting? You know, at his peak bounty hunting skills.
I don't know. That's a good question. How long does this aspect of Project Necromancer extend?
It'll be very interesting because, I mean, we know the man Boba is now, you know, very, very changed man. Not like this at all. So, but you could compare Boba and Cad Bane at one point, you know. Maybe Cad Bane is just off the deep end.
Well, that's what's interesting is that, like, we really can't. We've actually gotten more Cad Bane than we have Boba Fett.
That is true. He's on screen, I guess, is very, very slight.
Like Imperial era Boba Fett, height of his bounty hunting, we haven't even seen it, save for The Empire Strikes Back.
I guess it's just he's known, you know. It just the fact that he's that well known, like, isn't that, I guess, like, we get the scenes with him and Vader being like, you know, no disintegration. So, like, it's like, Vader at least knows what he's capable of. But, like, he's like well known throughout the galaxy though, right? Like it's like, oh,
no, he's a well-renowned bounty hunter. Like he's a well-renowned bounty hunter, but there's also like four other bounty hunters there whenever Boba's getting talked to. IG-88,
true,
and Bosk and Forlom and all of them. So like Boba, I think Boba's like, I would say he's a class one bounty hunter, you know, like I doubt they're like,
okay,
let's just get some randos for Luke Skywalker, you know, like I'm sure they knew what they were doing. Yeah.
That was cool. Class but, one. As well, bounty. Yeah. I don't know. Has that been dropped before?
No, I
like
think
a
that,
tier system. For
I think
them?
It was for like Fennec Shand. Fennec Shand saying that they were going after someone, and like I can't, like they were talking about class one bounty hunters a little bit there. But I like the idea that there's like you're like class three. You're like fuck.
Yeah, it's like damn man, I gotta prove myself a little bit more, I guess. I guess I haven't killed well enough. I'm only a tier four bounty hunter. Like am I only worth like what does
they
that
go
even
to the
mean?
Fucking they go to the fucking boards. They go to the website. They're like www.bountyhuntersguild.com, and it's like what am I today? Class four? Fuck, you know, like that's
man.
The whole thing.
Yeah, you check your points every day, and it's. Yeah, like what if class one, if you're going for Omega, you know, and Jedi and high M counts, what's like a tier four bounty, you know? Is it just like, is it just
a tier four bounty is someone being like, I really don't like this guy, can you pick him off for me? Like, you know, like,
yeah, how much is it gonna cost?
They're like, turning tricks in the street for cash is
they're just settling
for bounty hunting.
They're settling
on
just personal beef at that point, you know, no empire beef there, but
there's no galactic implication of class four bounty hunting. A bro's just trying to cash a check. That's all he's doing. And sorry, my dogs are down here, so I'm a little got a little distraction here. But okay.
And we got you know, Batcher here in our episode, or I guess it was it more Point of No Return. I'm trying to think if he was in.
There's no Bad Batch in Identity Crisis.
Yeah, okay. So it is all Tantus and just all there. Okay, good. But I don't know if we want to keep just. Do we want to separate it a bit and or just talk?
I think it's. We'll talk about a little bit of each, you know, because I think that in 10, they both really stand alone really well. It's fascinating to pair these as a double episode. I think it works because of the through line for the Shadow Trooper, but beyond that, it's it just kind of gave us a few answers in 10 there as to what Omega is according to Hemlock. And they're not even answers, it's just slight refinements of what we've already known.
It's still up in the air, man. Yeah, still up in the air. I even took down the quote, all the important things that Hemlock said to Emery here. And yeah, I mean, I still can't really go places. And he does say a part that I didn't really grasp at first, but he says, in addition to the assets, plural, in the sub-level containment chamber, you will be given to the access vault as well. So I guess I knew it seemed that there were a lot of those capsules down below that they had a multiple, but I was maybe thinking that there was maybe just one main person, but I guess now we have plural. It's more of a confirmed thing now for me. So I guess we know there's multiple things.
I think there's one. I think that the one Palpatine's looking at is like an asset he was particularly proud of.
I love Mace Windu, dude. That theory, that's like one of our predictions that I think is actually like, just so that they can confirm him dead sort of thing.
Yeah.
And just have like a big holy fuck. Like, it's Mace Windu, but it's also like, damn. What's in the box? What was in the box?
The child. The little baby.
Oh no. God.
They even had the shot of it like from inside the box like they do for Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman.
Oh, man. Okay, so yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But, okay, anyways. The assets down there. But then says, yes, these three are selected for their high M counts. There are few adults left with these characteristics, which I thought is a funny way of saying, yeah,
we've genocided them.
All of the Jedi. They are all dead. But he says, as you know, M count cannot be directly replicated from the source. However, Nala Se knew of another way, which is why she aided in Omega's escape. So that kind of seems that she found out the other way, like, recently. That, like, Omega, like, I don't know, like, it's, I don't know how to read that sentence. Like, M count cannot be directly replicated from the source. However, Nala Se knew of another way, which is why she aided in Omega's escape. So, like, maybe...
Well, they...
That implies that
they
Omega
qualify.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't.
Right before that, don't they say something about the ability to bind with the M count?
Oh, yeah. I guess that's a little bit. I guess it's the sentence after. The young clone's blood is the only binder that's proven to be compatible with their DNA to recreate their M count levels.
So that indicates to me, and obviously it's as far as Hemlock knows, Nala Se could still be holding back, but it indicates to me that Omega's blood is little more than a binding agent, and Nala Se is legit just looking out for, like, everyone.
Because if the Empire gets a hold of, it's kind of like the nuclear bomb at the time sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I see. And it is really, like, this kind of means for Omega now, you know, kind of does confirm she does not have a high. She might still, you know.
That's, yeah, I'm like, they confirm that that is why Omega's important to Hemlock, mm-hmm. but they do not indicate that that both. Is what Nala Say knows about her, you know, because I think that this was real slight, real, like, not subtle. It's very expository, mm-hmm. But it's not a moment, you know? And if this is all it is, it wouldn't require a moment, you know? Like, if that is legit all it is, like, this is how you would deliver that information. But they've been building it up like it's something more than this. So I trust that if she... Because, like we know now, it doesn't just take a high M count mm-hmm. to be force sensitive. We know that now. That is a certain, for sure fucking fact. It helps a lot with natural ability. But, like, I still wouldn't... I think there's a great deal of support in the idea that if Omega believes she's capable of it, she could be capable of it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Maybe... Yeah, because I guess I was more thinking, like, she's just the binding agent, you know? And so this... Maybe they're going down the route of she doesn't have a high M count. But... Maybe right now she thinks she has a high M count and that's why she's important. Like, at least that's what's in Omega's head. And she is going back to Tantus now, which a lot of things could change within the next episode. And Hemlock could just tell her straight up, or I don't know. But
bro, what the fuck are we going to do?
One saving grace, you know, the tracker, everything seems lost. Where is Hunter and where is Batcher? We saw them, you know, running up from the water, very low level, that's and true. That guy landed in the cave where Asajj was, you know, very, that's you know, true. Same cave sort of thing. I wouldn't put it past Hunter jumping in that ship, maybe with Batcher as well, and they're at Tantus with Omega, and that's how Hunter and Crosshair link up with Echo somehow.
I think Omega is smarter than the Shadow Trooper. They scanned for tracking devices, found one. He asks her to hand it over, and she hands him one. She could have
two. She has another one, you think?
She has another. Oh, yeah. That was too emphasized, I think. It was not like...
You're right.
Omega knew she was going to have to hand over a tracking device. And if they scan, they're like, yep, she has a tracking device. Hand one over, still has another. I could see that happening. I don't know if like the tech is like, well, there's two tracking devices on her or something. It feels like it would be more specific, but you know, like, I felt like that moment was too...
You're right. Yeah. It could be like Crosshair was like, no, it won't work. They're going to find that tracking pod. They do. And it's like, and then he's like, Omega's then like, well, then just fire a tracking beacon on the ship. It'll be fine. And he's like, Crosshair's like, no, there's too many unknown variables. This is not going to work. And then it's like, fail. So it's like, is it showing that Crosshair was right, or is it showing they knew all of these steps? So
exactly, it could be either. It, like, because that could be just the odds they're stacked against. Mm-hmm. Like they're just taking shots in the dark. They're like, maybe we'll get away with it. They don't get away with it. Maybe we'll do this. They don't do it. You know. So like, I could see that for sure. I think that's a really, I mean, that's what the Empire's about, is sucking the life and hope out of everybody. So like, I could foresee that for sure. But I do think there's something to the idea that even Crosshair doesn't know Omega did this, and they like discover it, you know, like like they're like, oh shit, she had to, they figured it out, you know, like that whole sort of thing.
That's why I wish she kind of kept Tex goggles on her, and they were like, oh, Tex goggles have a beacon in them and we fucking know where she is. And but she put him down, and it was a great moment, made me cry, you know. But like, would have been a really cool way to have Tex goggles mean something, I don't know, and like come back, which maybe they could come back, I don't know. Like, now that they have been specifically placed down and like mentioned, maybe this is their final resting place, you know. And it is just like Tech is, I don't know, this was kind of his funeral in a sense, you know, for the show, I don't know. But
I see little chance. I mean, The Empire stays behind. Pabu is officially fucked. There is no...
Yeah, they didn't leave, did they?
No, there's no post... There's no life after the Empire for Pabu. The Pabu is now under Imperial control. That is a fact of Pabu now.
I guess... Usually the Empire stays somewhere if they have a reason to, you know? Like, they have to be gaining something. And they could just be gaining the population, the people, to just... You know, that is enough, maybe... That it is just a planet, but like, what export? You know, that Pabu seems very self-preserved, self-sustaining. Not, they don't have surplus. You know, well, kind of, but they eat all the sur. That they're feasting. Everyone's feasting there. You know, sort of thing. They don't have.
I don't know. I think it might be giving the Empire a little too much credit to think they need a reason. I do think that they're capable of just they crave control, and if there was a sect of the galaxy where they didn't have it, now they do, you know.
Yeah,
and I mean, like, their complete and utter refusal to name the planet that Pabu is on, it keeps ticking away at the idea that that's Scarif even more.
Send you the coordinates to the planet that they are on, or like, it's like, yeah,
she frequented a planet on the outer rim.
Come on,
the outer Scarif is on the outer rim.
Fee mentioned some stuff. Oh, what did she mention to the droid? Hey, you know, jump in that green goo whenever I tell you. I'll repair you just like I did after blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And those two mentions, I Googled one of them. I remember. Let's see if it pops up in my history. Oh, my God. It was just a planet name.
Like where she saved him?
Mm-hmm.
Or, him up?
And it ended up being... in earlier seasons, I guess they went on this mission, and...
Oh, the one with, like, the giant Zepho beam-shooting guy?
Yeah, Scaranol, is that it? Scaranol?
I think so.
Scaranol. Yeah. Maybe that was it, yeah. But that was just brought back up, which is interesting. You know, like, and there was one other one, I guess, but they both referred to a... big creature that was at that planet. I don't know. Big creature still. I don't know if they're just teasing me, you know, if they're like gonna, if this is a story arc at all with these creatures at all, but they keep dropping these little, just, you know, little hints to me, it feels like.
Well, I mean, we saw a giant creature on one of them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, like the fish on Pabu as well with that green goo. I don't know if that's the same. Like, she mentioned green goo. And that green goo earlier was some shit. You know, when I tell you to jump in the green goo, you go in the green goo. And she was, she wasn't on Pabu, though, is the thing.
No.
So, like,
that's
it's
why
not
like,
the same. But why
it's
the
not a thing.
Why the fuck? What the fuck? You know?
I think it's so funny that I'm so sorry. It's so funny.
It doesn't, it's not going to
matter.
I know. It's not going to matter, but why does it connect? Why does it connect? You know? And why?
I completely get where you're coming from. I do. It's just so fucking funny that, like, you're absolutely right. It won't, it's not a thing.
No.
It's, but it is funny that you do have the capability to connect dots that aren't there. Like, they are. They exist.
I swear that might be my curse, is that I have to find a connection between two things. It is, I must do it. I do it in everything, not just TV shows, movies. No, I try to find the connection between the Great Pyramids and us today, or, you know, just anything.
The random shit.
And yeah, I must find the connection between green goo and these creatures that have
the
not
green,
mattered whatsoever in the story yet at all, and they won't matter at all. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that there's a good, you know, the monologue that Nemec gives in Andor when he's, like, it's part of his manifesto that Cassian listens to, where it's like, he doesn't say it in so many words, but it's along the lines of Imperial control is unnatural. You know, like it's illogical. There's nothing that makes sense about it. So like attempting to make sense of it does get tough.
Yeah.
Because there's only so many ways you can logic your way in and out of it.
I got to have my moral compass gone before I, you know, and that's tough to do. It's tough to just be like, yeah, no, I don't care about anything.
No, but like the giant monsters are like, I think that it's just Hemlock's experimentation goes beyond what you can possibly imagine. He's just experimenting with shit. And like he's just a mad scientist, I think is kind of what they're getting at.
This Shadow Trooper, every time they show a screen or anything that has text or blah, you know, they usually do the Star Wars glyphs, or there's a name for the language, but like they usually do. And it usually is just mumbo jumbo. But like this Shadow Trooper, every time Hemlock looks at his tablet, it's just lines and dashes. It is not words that you can translate. Like, that's interesting. His voice this time was
it's a crosshair, much more clear.
I mean, everything was just hitting. Like, it was just kind of it. Like, crosshair. I think that's
the point.
There's a
specific line where he says, like, the target is here. And I'm like, the voice modulator basically didn't even fucking work. It was just fucking Crosshair's voice. So I'm like, you know, maybe I'm getting too attached to the idea that this is Crosshair. But I think given the way they're hiding him and the way he's a sniper and the fucking backpack he wears and all the sight he uses, all that shit,
I think
it just indicates to me that this is fucking Crosshair.
That's why Crosshair is the one to say, they'll find your tracking beacon. It won't work. I won't hit the shot on the ship. It won't work. This guy knows all the tactics that Crosshair would do. So he
counters them. So you think Crosshair
perfectly
knows. So you think the Crosshair we have knows this is a clone of him?
That I don't know.
I think that that's what you were saying would indicate, though, right?
Because I guess they would be on Tantus together, and he would... Does Crosshair for sure know of this clone's existence if they're just on Tantus together? Does Hemlock keep them separate? It seems like they're just like deactivated.
I'm of the mind that Crosshair would have no idea this is a clone of himself. I don't think there's any, I don't think he'd know that.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I was just trying to clarify the theory where that's why Crosshair would know none of this stuff.
No. I think that's why the show, it's written like that. I think it's to show the exact counter to Crosshair.
Crosshair knows, look, this is what Crosshair would do. That's what he does. I get what you're saying. Okay. I follow now. But I think it's surefire at this point that the Shadow Trooper is Crosshair. I mean, like, it would be hysterical if this is just another, you know, Marok incident from Ahsoka where he dies and he's just green mist.
Who knows? Who knows at all? And maybe, you know, we're thinking that like it having a high M count helps, you know, and it does help with natural abilities, but like you don't need it if you just really believe. But that's like the light side. That's the good way to go. Say you just have a high M count and you're a clone, you want to go straight for the dark. Does it matter? You know, like, is it just you're open? Like, you know, you have all of that access sort of thing. I don't know. I think maybe there could be a different, like, that's why Nala Se is like, this is dangerous. It, in the hands of the good, it's not even that great because you have to actually train still or whatever and be humble, whatever, have all those virtues. But if you want to go straight for power, straight for the dark, like, maybe the M count is all that matters, you know. The dark.
That's true. You know, like, that is interesting to think about. Like, is there, to cultivate a natural force ability with a low M count, it feels very unlikely you'd be able to tap into a dark side. You know, that feels like you've got to be well trained already. And then you're like, fuck it.
That's kind of true. Yeah. You can't just dive in. Yeah, we've never seen people just like go all in on Sith right away, I guess. They have had Force abilities before, and then they were corrupted in some way, and then... Okay. Yeah, but... That's like the whole point of these kids, I mean, you know, is like, yeah, they have no idea why different... they're here. They have no idea what they have. They just...
We're in brand new territory, for sure. Like, there's... I think that, like, some of our prior... knowledge of what the Force is and what it's capable of doesn't even really matter. It's just kind of they're literally viewing the Force as a physical DNA, and like there's something there, obviously, but we've also seen that it's much more than that. So I think that there's also something that's interesting about Project Necromancer that is, again, unnatural, and while they're trying to do something that is logical with it, the Force itself is illogical. So, like, it's something that I don't know that scientifically can be cracked.
I really hope, I mean, that's obviously kind they of do the it, point, but... is that, like, right now, they're starting on this research, and we see how far they get with Snoke and Palpatine. Like, we see the ends. Like, if Palpatine had his way and the research went perfectly the way he wanted it to go, like, I think it would have been better than Snoke, or better than what he had. His plan was then like, well, now I'll use Rey, you know, or now I'll use Kylo. It's like...
Well, and that's what's interesting about Snoke is that he, you know, oh, my camera went off. Sorry about that. That's going to be a pain in the ass. It's like, shit. I hate when this happens. Camera just decided it no longer works.
Maybe. Gotta love good old Discord. Just a simple unplug can be the downfall.
Yeah, nothing even budged though, so that's where I'm that's just where Discord, I'm lost.
Then, yeah, just
but just Discord. But yeah, then I guess I will go to shitty cam for now. That is what we'll do. And sorry for those watching. Looks a lot worse down here like that. Fuck it. With Snoke, that's what I was on. Palpatine says expressly, like, I created Snoke. So it's fascinating to think of Snoke as an entity that is just kind of Mod Podge together, and then they clone that entity. You know, like, he might have been grown, but I would be willing to bet he's cloned from a group of sources and created into that.
Okay. Yeah, I think I do kind of like that more. Instead of it just being like Snoke. Yeah, I guess that still kind of makes sense. Like, Snoke is still the end of all this research, but what all this research might be is like, yep, we'll take this little bit of that little bit of this, you know, of whoever it is.
And I'd even be willing to bet that Snoke is not the goal. Snoke is like, this is what we can do, let's fucking do it.
Yeah, it's just what they have at the time. Yeah, it's like Palpatine will have the best option he has, you know, available to him, and that's what it was, you know. And this is now. We have so much time until then, and that's where they get to. So, like, it doesn't seem, at least, that there's a lot of progress made, you know? Maybe there is a giant Jedi, or not Jedi, Force-sensitive army that's made somewhere, and they're sent off to Thrawn's universe or galaxy, I don't know. But, like, there's no real way of... I don't see a big galaxy implication with Project Necromancer. Because it's, I don't know, it's all for Palpatine. That's the whole point. And we see the end of it. So I don't really...
We get an idea of what the end is, but it's fascinating that there is still so much in the open. We know what the end goal is, and it's achieved in some capacity. Like, we see a clone of Palpatine. And that clone of Palpatine is Force sensitive. You know, like
the clone, but, as in
the one that's attached. Yep, is that is attached to that bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That is, that guy is force sensitive. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to siphon the life force.
That's just not Palpatine's original. That's a clone of Palpatine, right? I guess have I just not realized that that is like a that's not his just detrimented body.
No, that's a clone of Palpatine.
And because it's a clone, that's why it's so fucked up.
That's why it's fucked up.
Oh, I guess I don't know why that's never clicked. I just have always thought that that was like he's so old, like he's so just fucked, and that's just why he's I don't know why he's so fucked. I did. Wow, I guess how is it taking me this long to realize that? But okay,
I'm pretty sure, unless I'm missing something. I
know you know the sequels far better than I do. So
And that's the thing is you've got me questioning whether or not I do know that. I'm pretty sure it's a Palpatine clone.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't know how it would be his body, but like
in the novelization for Rise of Skywalker, it's confirmed that Palpatine was indeed a clone, but unlike the clone troopers of the prequel. So yeah, I guess. Huh. Okay. Very interesting then.
I was like, I thought for sure he was a clone. So that's my thing is that Palpatine himself is the culmination of this work. Like that is
okay, not Snoke. Okay, then yeah, I am.
That's why I'm like Snoke is like a backup plan essentially. I think that's just like if we can't do what I need to be done, then we're gonna do it. Then we're gonna create something. And wow. There's a chance that is what Omega is used for, is the creation of Snoke, because she is
the binding
agent
of all of them.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, fuck. Yes. Wow. Ooh, that's not good. Yeah, that is not good because...
No, so, like, that's something on the horizon, is that we know Snoke is created.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether there's... As far as what we know to be canon as of now, Snoke should already exist.
To see the rise and the fall.
Yeah.
But if it's Palpatine's creation, then he sees the rise and the... Does that just mean it's, you know,
yeah,
Palpatine?
Right. Like, that's the thing, is that, like, I think it's very... It's one of those things that they can bend the continuity of, not break it. And I think that's mm-hmm. it was a good phrasing for that reason. So
and it's not a linear progression, you know. It's not to say that from now to Snoke in the sequels that they just get better and better and better. They could see a very massive, like a... They could work. Like, I don't know, it could be a success, but then the Bad Batch or whoever shuts it down. Like, they kill or, I don't know, just destroy all the research.
I think there has to be a reason the research has moved to Exegol. I think there's a reason it ends up taking on this religious cult-like thing. Like, that's the most interesting idea of the evolution here, is that,
that's
like...
That's not a thing yet on Exegol? The religious, like... The
we
cult,
don't know.
It's
it could
not like
be,
an
but
ancient,
we know that...
That I guess that to... Exegol just
I'm
seems
assuming that the
ancient.
Exegol... Yeah, Exegol is ancient, and I'm assuming the cult-like stuff there is ancient, but I'm more interested in how Tantus evolves to the point where it needs to get to Exegol, and how they're willing to, like, does Hemlock finish his work on Exegol? What happens to get this research from here to Exegol is the most, that's one of the most interesting things to me about this.
Did you have a theory on what planet Tantus was on? Did you think that it might have like turned into Starkiller Base or something? Was that, or like maybe something? I felt like there might have been something with Tantus as well.
That is, I mean, like that is interesting as well. I've never considered that. Ilum is turned into Starkiller Base.
So we do know. So okay, it's not.
We know where Starkiller Base is turned from.
Pabu, you think is Scarif?
Scarif,
right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't used to buy that theory, but the fact that they keep refusing to name the planet Pabu is on, and the fact that the Empire has now found it, what are y'all shocked about there?
Wait, I'm just thinking if the timeline works here. Where are we? Has Rogue One happened?
Rogue One has not happened.
Okay, so we have to get there. No.
That's why I'm like it could be Scarif. No. That is very, very feasible.
No. The tower that is built on Scarif, you know, mimics.
I had that thought too.
That whole thing could be blown up. But the tower that is there right now is the history, is kind of the good version of that tower. You know what I mean? Like, it's right now it is the human version of it.
I had that thought while we were watching it. I think that that's a very likely scenario. The only thing that I don't love about that part of the theory is that the islands around the tower are very built out, but who knows? That could be unnatural as well. They've been known to build into oceans. So like,
if that island's gone, yeah, I guess the water level would technically go down. Yeah, I don't know. I guess they could just,
I mean, like, that's the other thing is that it could just be the other side of the planet. It could that's just true. Be like this like it true. Could just be another I part like of the that. Planet. But I do think I didn't used to buy that theory, but the deeper we get into this without them naming the planet that Pabu was on, the more worried I become that it is Scarif. Just to salt the fucking wound. It's brutal.
We were in denial that that Pabu was safe. Not any longer at all. And we know what the Empire does to people that don't listen.
Yeah, I mean, Shep is not going to take this lying down.
Mm-mm. No. No. I don't know what the future is for Pabu, but it's not looking good. Mm. And yeah, I guess if the whole... Man, if it becomes Scarif, that sucks. But it is a cool connection, though. Just to really
God, it's just
show
so it's how... so disappoint. Like, it's so demoralizing to watch this thing on your screen where an Imperial power is charging innocent people from the air and going on the ground and taking their homes away from them, and you know, just bombarding their every resource and taking everything away from them, and the children are frightened and they're scared.
That's
and
just Star Wars, right? There's that's no just Star way Wars. That's happening.
There's nothing real about that. There's nothing real about that. So that was what that was one thing where I'm just like, God fucking damn, you know, like it's just so jarring to watch something that is science fantasy that is just so fucking real and happening literally right now is
I think that
blows my fucking mind.
That is the point. They and at least Star Wars, they know we're clear on who the bad guys are, you know. They make that clear. I think that's kind of what Star Wars is very good at, is at the time we see what we view as good and bad. And George, I just saw this morning, he's the most valuable celebrity. I don't know how they measure celebrity, you know,
I'm assuming it's Hollywood? Probably born or... from entertainment, you know, because
anyone in Hollywood, he's
anyone born from the music industry or in the movie industry is kind of how I take it.
$5.5 billion this man has accumulated. And also someone was like, one of the largest Disney shareholders there is.
Yeah.
Very a thought that has not crossed my mind before. So, you know, he does still care about the success of Star Wars, you know, but how much... What's the percentage of Star Wars as compared to Disney, though? You know?
Yeah, when it comes to Lucasfilm, I'm not sure how much that eats up Disney's shares or anything.
Yeah,
so
say
like,
Star Wars is the most successful. They just pop off unbelievably. Does that really buff Disney's numbers, which they're making so much more from other sources? I don't know. But, like, it is a... I don't know. I saw someone was like, you know, George, hey, you have all that money, make a movie, rich boy, you know, let's put that creative mind to work, man.
Crazy is George Lucas still makes stuff.
But he just doesn't put it out?
He just wants to watch it. He creates stuff that he wants to watch. It's insane. Hilarious man.
That's the best way to create. That's what like Villanueva says, right? For like that's mm-hmm. what he created Dune.
That was what Tarantino. That's what Tarantino does too. Okay, he's like, yeah, I only create movies that I would want to watch.
But they put them out for others to watch.
Yeah, he screens them for like him and his buddies. That's what he like. Spielberg will come through and he's like, watch this new experimental film I made. You know, like that's just kind of what Lucas does. So
God damn it, George.
You know, he's still making stuff, but
God damn it,
yeah,
George.
Yeah, no, George is. Yeah, he's.
Why do people that create franchises just have to have such weird personalities behind them? I guess
George is such a fucking weirdo.
Maybe that's what it takes. You just got to be a fucking. You got to be a little weird to make a galaxy like
you
this.
Be
you
insane.
Know, I don't know. But yeah, the Kiners. That's the thing. Usually, the tweet is much much worse than the episode. Not really. I don't know. Like this, I was demoralized pretty hard this week.
We got several so long partners. We got to say goodbye to the Marauder. It is Maraud over.
It is Maraud over. Wrecker almost. Holy fuck, was I scared when he was laying there and Omega was like, you know, went up to, I was like, we're not doing this right now, are we? Like, no way. Did Gonky
They're like, nope,
go?
Take him up to ships, you know, like, thank God. Okay.
Did Gonky actually, did he survive?
I think Gonky's done. I think we would have seen Gonky. Yeah.
Wrecker, I think, grabbed him, you know.
Wrecker tried to protect Gonky, which was.
Because he said earlier in the episode, he was like, maybe I should leave you behind. And then
yeah.
he grabs him before the freaking Marauder
explodes. He tries to protect him from the explosion.
Yeah, that was... So, yeah, that's done. Let's see, what else? Pabu probably eventually will say goodbye to. Omega, we're saying goodbye to for a little bit.
Lula and the goggles, we say goodbye to.
I don't know. I don't know how much I put on Hunter jumping in that ship, but he feels like such a non-factor this entire season. They have to give him something. He has to have something this season. He has been, I don't know,
sidelined
completely. And this episode, you know, he's the first one to kind of be like, something's off, you know, when the doves fly and he's like, I don't mm-hmm. know, but I don't like it, you know, and like,
yeah.
He's just been such a non-factor. I hope he has something here. And I hope he jumped in that ship. And I hope maybe that means it's a sacrifice. You know, he won't make it out of Tantus, which is bad. But I'd rather him have a sacrifice. Like, I'd rather him actually be the sacrifice play now this season just to give him something
right.
substantial.
You know, like, I think if he's not on that ship, because here's the thing. If he got on that ship, he had no way of knowing Omega surrendered. He did that anyway.
He had the same plan Omega did then. Omega didn't tell Hunter.
That's what I'm like. That would be interesting. That would be a cool parallel. It would be that they had the same idea. They were like, fuck it. I'll go to Tantus. I'll figure it out. Ooh. You know, so maybe they're tracking Hunter, not Omega, because Hunter would still have his comm, mm-hmm. which would make sense. The other option is that Hunter and Crosshair beef out hard one last time over the fact that Crosshair let her do this. And
that's
that
more
Hunter
likely.
Would be like, yeah.
We need to see that blow up. They're going to fight. I think it needs to happen. They kind of made up, you know, on that one where they went on that excursion to that one Imperial planet, whatever, where Crosshair returned to. But no, there's still some more beef there that needs to be settled. And yeah, Hunter will not be happy. That he let her go, but you know that Hunter also needs to recognize that like Omega did make this decision on her own. Crosshair did advise against it. He was like, no, this is not a good plan. There's too many unknown variables. I'm not confident in this. And Omega's like, it's the only thing we got. So I think it's good for Hunter. It's good for Hunter either way. If he did go, then it shows that him and Omega think the same way. And, like, I think they'll bond over that. Like, wait, you know, they'll be like, holy shit. Like, wow, look, both of us, we didn't even have to say anything to each other, but we're mm-hmm. both in the same situation. That'd be awesome. But
I would love a moment where Hunter sees her and he's like, Omega, what are you doing? You know, like it's just kind of like the same.
You're not supposed to be here, you know.
Yeah, like, that sort of thing. That would be very cool. I don't see it happening, sadly. I don't think I would love if Hunter had that foresight. I just think it's much more likely for the writers to take it down the direction where Crosshair and Hunter finally have it out for the last time.
I could see maybe a little bit of both, actually, now. Hunter comes up through the cave. He sees that ship. You know, he knows that cave is there because that's the same cave Asajj landed in, and they had that whole confrontation. Seems like, yeah. And maybe he's like, okay, well, I know I can get up to the island from this cave now. And that's where he goes up. He sees that ship. He's like, what the fuck? Maybe Hunter just put a tracker on the ship. Straight up, he's like, well, this ship is obviously not ours. It's very Imperial. Also, sick ass looking ship, by the way. I love the
dope
design
as
of it.
Fuck.
Oh, dude. Oh yeah, this is epic. Stealth bomber esque. It's very thin. And UFO look. I don't know whenever it's flying, but maybe Hunter just comes up. He sees that. He's like, well, that's not normal. Puts a tracker on the ship and then walks up. And then they have, maybe next episode, he has that argument with Crosshair. And he's like, well, you know what? You let her go. I'm the, you know, you missed the shot. You didn't get the tracker. I'm the one who put the tracker on the ship, you know, sort of thing. Like, my tracker's active. Where is yours? I think I could see their argument, Crosshair and Hunter. I see that as much, much more likely than Hunter jumping on the ship with her. But
God, because that's the thing too, is that Batcher, I love Batcher. He's a fucking, she's a fucking liability out there. She's a problem. I love Batcher, and I think that she is a great pet and a great companion. Obviously, the way that she battles the Empire, she lives through that. That's dope as fuck. Mm-hmm. So she's not a complete and utter liability, but in a stealth situation, not ideal. Mm-hmm. Cannot have Batcher with you. Yeah. So either he got on the ship and had to shoo Batcher away, or he's just not on the ship. Because I love that Batcher's the one who finds him. I think that's dope. I like that the ones who, like, the trackers found each other. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of what Batcher... It almost seemed like Batcher was trying to find Hunter, which I think is a really cool... I love the inclusion of their little buddy, Batcher. I think it's a great character introduction this season.
Yeah, and I love the... Whenever Hunter is taking over that gunship and it's going all out of control, and Omega's like, is that Hunter? And then the Crosshair's like, yep, nope, that's him, but he's not.
Doesn't even need
yet.
To look. He's like, yep, that's him.
Yep.
Yeah.
and thankfully he's okay, you know, just splash down in water, all good. But man, were there some worries? Like, Wrecker went down and like Hunter was going, I was like, oh my God, this is not good. And yeah, point of no return. Emery, god damn it, for the identity crisis, though. We always, the titles, you know, we're always thinking much larger, and then it happens just to be something more, even more, like, better. Like, it always ends up being a little better.
Oh, dude, you know? Identity Crisis was a fucking fantastic episode. It's one of those ones where, like, the credits hit, and I was already tearing up, but then, like, the credits rolled, and it was, like, that soft music they played, and I just kind of, like... You know, like, I just kind of let go a little bit. I'm like, fuck, man. Like, these kids.
Yeah, I know.
The fucking kids, bro. Anytime it's kids, I'm having a tough time, bro. Like, it's just a guarantee. Oh, my God. Eva is fucking adorable. It guts me.
We just want to go home. Yeah, like, I might be going way too deep. Is Emery a test subject right now? Are they testing her loyalty to the Empire right now to see if, with kids, with the ultimate, like, good, you know, and them wanting to go home, she's being watched too. There are people with her goggles up in that viewing area, like, watching the whole thing. And I didn't know if Emery might, you know, she's been there for a long time. Could just be actually true. I could be face value. It could be Nala Se is gone. We need someone to replace Emery or the replacement. You know, she even steps up. She's like, no, I want to take control. She kind of like gives herself the promotion. And Hemlock is like, okay, sure. You will be granted this access. You will take over everything. You need to be caught up, you know, brought up to speed now. it just seemed that maybe Emery is also under a little spectacle as well with that, the viewing tower up there. Why have that, you know?
I do think there is a degree of observation done unto her as well, but I will say the viewing tower is also a, like, that's not its only use. You're not saying that, right? Like,
No.
Okay, cool. No. But yeah, I do think there's a chance of that. Hemlock being absent from the episode after everything, her being able to speak with Nala Say the way she does without interference is very, very interesting. It seems very unlikely that that would have been allowed to happen, even with a clone trooper directly outside the door.
I think they're wanting to see what she does. They're like, I think at least it's an initial test. You know, it's not like this is some grand plan that Emery's been playing this whole time and now she's being tested, watched. I think it's just kind of like, if you're going to be brought into Project Necromancer, we're going to show you the ropes. We're going to show you that we capture kids. We're going to show you that we stun them. We're going to show you that we isolate them for days if they try to escape. We're going to show you the worst of the worst. And we're going to see if you are still faithful to the Empire.
If you respond to that.
Yeah, let's see if you try to help
them. Do you think there's any chance it's... Oh, no, Nala Say would have told her if it was bigger than this. I was going to ask, is this the test and that it's only three kids? You know? Like, do they have another facility where they have a lot more children that they are also running tests on? I think it's a distinct possibility. But,
they have so many more kids than this. Cad Bane being like, until next time, whenever he leaves. And then, like, even Hemlock is like, we have another one on the way. We have another one captured on the way. This one won't be any problem to you. Oh, wait. Maybe I'm forgetting the order wrong. Yeah, because she's like, I want to be there. I want to make sure that the subject is all good. Because
yeah, that's the baby that Cad Bane delivers.
Because Hemlock does say, he's like, I know how you responded to the last situation. So, you know, I understand. But realize these are just test subjects, you know, sort of thing. He's like reminding her. He's like, remember what you're doing here, you know. And then she goes, you know, he's like, okay, do what you want. He says, you know, after she's like, I want to be there. I want to make sure all of these subjects are up to the standards or whatever. Hemlock is then like, all right, Emery, do what, you know, do as you please. He says something like that.
Right.
Like green light. And it just kind of seems that they're leaving every decision up to her. Like Hemlock is usually like, you do this, you do this, you do this. You know, it's never usually like, okay, sure. Do what you want. Oh, you want to take over this project? Sure, go ahead. That makes sense. Mm. Oh, you want to go escort this mission? Sure, go ahead. It's like it feels a little too lax, for me. So I could be looking a little too deep, and it could just be very surface value. They need a replacement for Nala Say. This is the obvious candidate. She's worked with her the whole time. She knows the research somewhat. She just doesn't know.
It's also interesting that she's like, I think I should do it. And Hemlock's like, dope, come with me. You know, he's like, yeah, no, for sure. I'm with you.
And it's almost like proud. Like, it's almost like a little bit of like, not Jack and Hagar-esque of like, finally, you've made this step. But like a somewhat.
He's like, yeah, like, this is what I've wanted for you. Basically, this is what I planned for you.
Like, there's a little bit there. And if she's a clone or somehow related to Omega, I'm assuming they've tested her blood and that her blood is not the glue.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like no shot that she, but like, why is she a clone of Omega? What is that has to be important, right? Like,
you would think.
Like, maybe it is just to show the difference of Emery is the Omega that was always captured by the Empire and assimilated into their, you know, processes and everything. And maybe it's just to show what one on the outside looks like and one on the inside looks like. But I don't know. I feel like Emery now is maybe the source of like the rebellion that'll start there, you know, the breakout. I think she will help, you know, break out the kids at first while Omega and everyone else are breaking out the clones, then they realize, oh wow, like, yeah, we're breaking out and everyone's kind of
I think Omega coming back will be the breaking point for her. Like, she'll be like, okay, yeah, let's do something about this. You know, essentially. Now Omega won't have Crosshair, won't have someone else aiding her from the inside. But she does have Emery, and I think that I love, like, the moment where she leaves little straw Lula for Eva fucking guts me. It's a fascinating character that they've set up with Emery that at first didn't seem so fascinating, but has just become more and more interesting. And I'm excited to see where her story wraps up. Because, I mean, four episodes left. You got to think Echo is along for the ride from here on out, right?
They've been name dropping them. They're like, we'll link up with Echo. You know what?
You would think Echo's in for the last four episodes when they're searching for Omega and Tantus, and this is what they're doing. Like, they need to double down on their efforts to find Tantus now, if there is not a tracker there. And if there is a tracker there, they're going to inform Echo, hey, we know where Tantus is. And then Echo's automatically back in. But I think we're going to be spending
trailer territory.
Least an episode.
The next episode is Juggernaut, is the title. Nerd research. I didn't do this. The nerds, thank you. But in the trailer, there's a vehicle that is going up a steep incline, and this is a Juggernaut class vehicle. It is the name of the car. Titles are, you know, we thought Identity Crisis was many, many different things other than Emery and everything else. But so it could be a red herring, but.
Juggernaut has a few meanings. I'd be willing to bet that is in the episode. It might not be the only meaning of the episode, though.
In this vehicle, I believe in the trailer, you see Fee with other batch members. I think, like, three. I think it is Wrecker, Hunter, and Crosshair. Well, no. I guess maybe... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But I think you see other batch members in the Juggernaut. I think Fee is maybe driving someone else in the passenger seat.
Well, I was impressed to see that we're still getting trailer shots. Mm-hmm. You know, when they get, like, the defining image of the Shadow Trooper, as we've seen it all over the internet for a couple months now. It's that image of him during this episode where he's speaking to the troopers. There's still stuff left on the table, which I think is really, really cool. You know, I'm excited for next week. Mm-hmm. You know, Juggernaut, just like Harbinger, can mean a lot of things.
Wrecker could be a Wrecker episode.
A Juggernaut.
He needs some healing. He needs to be, you know, he needs some time. I don't know. That is scary. But it seems
they could be facing improbable odds. A Juggernaut of a situation, you know, like, that's just kind of. Like, it could be anything, you know. So I don't know. I'd be willing to bet that Fee is kind of along for the ride from here on out now, because it's not her fault, it's the Empire's fault, which I loved the express mention of in this episode. I loved that. Omega being like, this is all my fault, they're destroying. He goes, no, it's the Empire's fault. Like, fucking, I've got chills just thinking about that line. It's so simple, it's so straightforward, but it's just so important to understand that you don't bring any Imperial power down on your head of your own accord. That is not your fault.
Because that's I was thinking the same way. I'm like, damn, Fee really gave up the coordinates. And then I'm like, damn, if Omega wasn't here, they wouldn't be here. But then I'm like, no.
The Empire exists, and that's their fuck. That's the Empire's fucking
fault.
They're
the reason that all this shit's going down in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, they come in, they destroy all the boats.
And Fee couldn't have.
Yeah, like,
that's one of those things. I'd be willing to bet Fee feels responsible. She's not, but I guarantee you she feels responsible. And I'd be willing to bet she's along for the ride from now on to try and get that back.
I love the perspective difference that we got from the mayor as well of him being like, you destroyed our ships, you destroyed our way of life, you destroyed, like, everything by just destroying our ships. We can't eat anymore. You know, that's how we get all of our food. And the Shadow Trooper just sees it. I cut off her means of escape. I've done nothing yet. You know, he's like, I've barely done anything. You're lucky.
I could destroy. They were ready to do the Vietnam torching of homes.
Yeah.
They were prepared to take it there.
That's the perspective change, is that from the Empire, just those ships, that is just cutting off their means of escape. But to Pabu, just that alone was already like detrimental to them. Like, yeah, they could rebuild their ships and build new boats, whatever, but like
not under Imperial control.
Mm-hmm. And that's how they like all the food they eat, it looks like fish, you know. It looks like that's like this kind of their main shit they eat. They're on an island.
They don't grow food.
Yeah, they either grow some fruit on fruit trees or they're eating fish. Yeah, and I don't know. Yeah. I liked that. That was included too, of the Shadow Trooper being like, I've done nothing yet. You know, I could do much more.
I have done nothing.
It's Crosshair in there. Crosshair clone. And
man.
What if it's the other way around?
No, we discussed this previously. Like, what if Crosshair that we have is the clone and this is the Crosshair of old?
The little handshake. He has it before. Mm-hmm. When does he first show his handshake?
Pretty sure that's a new thing this season. I'm pretty sure that's a season three. Yeah. Here's my thing. I'm willing to guarantee that the Crosshair we know is the Crosshair we've known, and that this is the clone they've been able to... I think it became clear with the previous Crosshair. His abilities are crucial, but his head is clearly getting in the way of what the Empire wants. So it only feels natural to clone that clone and brainwash him from creation. So I think that's more likely. I think that we are dealing with a clone of Crosshair as the Shadow Trooper, and that Crosshair that we know is the Crosshair we've seen undergo the entire journey. I feel like it would be pretty shortchanged to be the other way around.
Because there'd have to be so much story involved there. Like, to be like, if he is a clone version and good now, then they would be like, the old one was so, like, they controlled him to the point where he would just kill his old team and go do this shit. So obviously that's not the Crosshair we know. Like, they have controlled him, and then the clone somehow has all the memories that Crosshair does, you know, which could be important. I guess it could be their way of showing that we can transfer memory, you know, but then it's like we just have a good Crosshair that's the clone. It doesn't feel as good, you know.
No, like, the good Crosshair is the Crosshair we've known, and if they did it otherwise, it would be an actively bad choice, and they haven't made any choices I would regard as actively bad as far as the writing is concerned.
If they spin it in the way of it doesn't matter what body you're in, it just matter your memories are all that matter, you know, sort of thing. So it's like, whether this is a clone of Crosshair, yeah, it's a clone body, but it's the Crosshair you know, so it doesn't matter, you know, sort of. What if they spin it that way, and that's the point of the evil one being so evil that you're like, oh, that's the original one? Holy shit. Like, holy fuck, that, like, I would rather want this cloned version that is good.
I don't think that makes it good. I think it would still be a bad choice.
I would not prefer it, but I'm saying that's at least a way that they could spin it to make it better.
That is a way they could spin that possibility. But I think that and again, I've been talking about the unnatural and the illogical, so I could see that, but I would feel so shortchanged if that's what they did.
Yeah,
even if they did explain it that way, I'd be like, well, that's bullshit.
Four episodes left as well.
Yeah.
That's so much to tackle in that time. I'd rather.
And it's
not
a big expository dump, you know, if they do it. So it's just kind of like, it is what it is. I do think we'll get the, I think there is no doubt. There is doubt, but there's not much doubt to me that the Shadow Trooper is Crosshair.
Yeah, we were talking about it as if it's kind of fact, but
at this point, I don't see another feasible option.
They're just pointing everything in that direction Like they could sidewind it and be like, it's Tech, it's a clone of Tech, but or
well,
both.
Now that would feel like it sucks. I'm like, if they were like to,
is it amalgamation of them both?
Could be, I guess.
But it seems that they would need the glue for that. I don't know. Maybe, maybe that's what, and they don't. But the glue is just for
that's why
account and stuff, or is it a glue for all? Is Omega like the universal
glue?
She's just kind of like the mom of all. Like she can just.
She's just the O negative of cloning, you know? Like it's just.
That's good. That's good. That's really good. Yeah, that. Which makes her very, very important, and like
makes her extremely important, extremely valuable. So, I could see that being the case, that her blood is just compatible with everybody, so it makes it easier to bind cells. I could see that. It's just and they've already made it clear that that is part of what it is. But I feel like there's more there, and I'm excited to see. And if there's not, I won't be disappointed. You know, like I won't be like, ah, man, that was it. It'll be like, oh, that was fascinating. They decided that was it. But,
Yeah. Wow. I mean, we're heading back. At least we know for sure now we're heading back to Tantus. There's no like, well, Omega.
There's
is.
No
like Omega.
There's
is.
No other.
And we got to get back there somehow.
And we're going to get back there. That's the thing that is good about this is that there's only so many ways you can write the rest of the season in any decent capacity. And one of them is that the Batch finds Tantus.
There's no way Omega never sees the Batch again. You know, like
they are going to find Tantus. And I don't think we're going to repeat what we did earlier in the season. I don't think Emery and Omega are going to make it out. I think they try. I wouldn't put that past them, but I think that because she's escaped before, they're not going to let that shit happen again. It'll be much more careful. So I think that the thing is that one of the inevitabilities, which has always been an inevitability, but they've cemented it for me, is that the Batch finds Tantus. And that's good. That's good to me. So,
we're heading
and with that,
though.
I mean, Echo and Rex and Wolf and Gregor, and I think we get that clone rebellion. I think that is what we're heading for.
I think there's a war at Tantus. Like I think that's the cavalry has arrived is the last episode.
I think we get that is the every that clone. Is all that is finally it's the exact inverse. The Bad Batch showed up to help the Regs when they needed it, but it's going to be the Regs showing up to finally throw it down for the Bad Batch, the group that they've, you know, bullied and made the other and
Wolf's
all like
little
it's going to be
battalion's going to switch, you know, maybe turn. We'll have maybe Asajj might come back. I don't know and help the fight. But then on the other side, Tantus side, Cad Bane is in the game. Maybe we have some other bounty hunters show up, possibly maybe Vader, you know, Vader could still be in the cards to pop up.
Yeah, that is interesting. Vader is less in the cards now that they have Omega back. Now that Omega has been captured, I'm not super worried about Vader appearing.
Omega's captured. And they're like, all right, we can't let her go again. We know, I don't know. They would have to know a war is like coming to Tantus to have Vader there, you know?
Yeah, like, I'm like, it would be beneath him to be a bodyguard outside of Omega's cell or whatever. So I'm like,
unless
he could be the cavalry.
Tantus, Omega's on Tantus and the Emperor and Vader arrive together there because they have her and they're like, okay, well, this is what we're working towards. This is the most important
that
project
something.
We have. Come with, you know, let's come with, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, to flip what the Batch has always referred to itself as with, like, the cavalry has arrived, it would be interesting if Vader is the cavalry for the Empire.
It's kind of
and
all
that
you
is,
need. You don't need anyone else. It is Darth Vader, so.
That could be interesting. But I have less faith that that will happen than I did earlier in the season. Now that they do have Omega back, I find that extremely unlikely. But it could still be
who
cool.
Does Tantus have on their side? Obviously Hemlock, obviously Palpatine. You know, I don't think Palpatine will be literally fighting and defending Tantus. I don't think that's happening. But they have the troopers that are there. But if the point is like it's a rebellion, I think some of them will turn and fight, but then I think some will still maybe not. I don't know. Maybe some will still.
I mean, the clones in there will rise up, like the clones all being of them? Held. A great deal of them. I think these four sensitive younglings eschew in to help.
Okay.
But when it comes to who's on Tantus's side, that's the thing is that, again, I think that they're so fat and happy. Andor is just the holy text of understanding the Empire.
I see.
They're so fat and happy that I don't think they think it's possible to be overrun at Tantus. And I think that when it happens, they'll have little defense. I don't think it'll be much of a contest. I think there will be clone commandos that remain loyal to the Empire. They're already this deep, but I do think there will be some sort of Omega moment where she speaks to Tantus at large. I don't know how that happens, but I'm fairly certain that's coming.
Her force moment? Could be cool.
That'd be a pretty big force
that'd
moment.
That'd be insane for her, like her first thing to be like, yeah, let me talk to everyone in their minds.
That's like what Avar Chris is capable of in the High Republic, and she's known as like one of the strongest Jedi there is. So like that would be nuts. But I do think it's in the cards for some sort of force sensitive moment amidst that escape, but I don't think it's going to be like their saving grace. I don't think that Omega's force moment is going to be so big that it's like, oh, it's over. You know, it's like, it'll be something that helps along the way, indicates that this is something she's capable of and will get out of there and realize she needs to, like, there could be an epilogue on the last episode where she goes with Asajj and she's like, that's where she goes. But I think that would be a very end of the show after the main conflict is resolved.
Okay. Do you think we got that storyline of the little kid, the baby that was like taken just to show the brutal nature of everything? Or do you think that kid is important, you know, in any way in the breakout? Like the fact that he, you know, he has, I don't know. He threw the little toy at someone and, you know, that's what gave him the tip to the, it was that easy. The guy was like, hey, there's a baby that's showing gifts. And the Empire was like, boom, baby taken next hour. Like it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's anything particularly special about this baby. I think that he could be the main example in why Emery turns, like realizing just how evil this is.
Do you think we see the return, the giving the child back to the mother?
That could be cool. I would love that. I hope so. But I don't know how we would go about that. That would be a cool epilogue on the end of, again, the season, is everyone returning to their home. Damn. And then Omega leaving home is kind of I would see it.
I was going to say, who would know where that kid came from? Cad Bane is the only one who knows right now. Sat, you know, I guess they could to be like, oh, the tip came from this phone call, so we know it's on this planet. I don't know, but Cad
and
Bane,
I don't think they would. I don't think they'd do all that.
She specifically asked, "Where is this one from?" And Cad was like, "Asking questions like that is how you blah blah, you know, blah blah blah,
giving away more than you want to, or whatever." Yeah.
So they kind of made it a point to be like, Emery is wanting to know where this kid is. Where this kid is from. She asks the name of the kids at first, and then Hemlock is like, no, personal attachment is not okay. And she's like, oh damn, I was just asking what their name was, dude.
I'm just,
you
being
know,
nice,
like, yeah,
man.
She's
a clone. She's a number, you know, like she is designed with a notation. She has a name because either someone gave her a name or she picked a name. That is how clone names work. So it's,
wow,
there's a really personal touch to that episode that's just heart-wrenching. And I think that it resonated with me in a really, really deep, meaningful way. I loved episode 10. I liked episode 11 a lot. And it was much more exciting, but 10 was so fucking good. The stuff that happens on Tantus, the episodes on Tantus have been just ridiculously well done.
Yeah. I don't know how specific they're trying to get with these kids and like the subjects and everything. Like if the green kid who tried to escape, you know, if
yeah, the Mary Allen,
if being rebellious, if having a rebellious spirit adds to something, you know, this kid that tried to escape, they say they take him to isolation for 2 days, no matter what, after every escape attempt, it's for a punishment. Mm-hmm. But like, what if just the, you know, he's the rebellious one out of the group. The other kids are, they will follow, manipulatable. You know, they're, maybe that's better. Maybe those are the kids they're looking for. I don't know. Maybe that's, mm-hmm. maybe that is a, it's not just their blood. It's not just the M count. It is also how they respond to certain things. I don't know. And maybe,
probably.
Because if they, like, they are in a cell, 100%. They sleep in a cell that and that they come out into a common area that's just a table and like it's a cell the whole time, but they give them the view of escape. You know, it's like they give them the easy out if they want to try. Like it seems that they're being like that's the point of it all. That it's not just to keep them there and like whatever, it's like to see what they'll do. It seems that the emotional response, not just from the kids but from Emery as well, is being monitored. Like that's how I feel.
I think there's a you brought up a good point earlier about, you know, the darkness, if it comes naturally or if that's something that even matters when it comes to the cloning here. I mean, it's possible they're trying to cultivate darkness.
Oh.
They're trying to create anger. They're trying to create resentment. They're trying to create sadness so that it makes them darker and maybe somehow
they
that corrupts.
They want the fast path.
Yeah.
They want maybe that, the quick, easy path. And,
maybe that could
and
be
so
maybe that could be a thing, you know? This is a dangerous game, but
maybe this is how Inquisitors are born. Like
it's part of it. I'd be willing to bet this is part of how Inquisitors come up through the system.
Some are just past Jedi, you know, that were remnants from, I guess,
Order 66.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the aged, you know, some would be born like kids right now, you know, Inquisitors mm-hmm. that I guess we've seen, they would be kids right now. So,
So yeah, come the time of Rebels specifically, some of them are probably, you know, if they were born a couple years before the Empire fell, they're 18, you know, 18, 19, 20 at the time of Rebels, if they were like max 5 at the time of the fall of the Republic.
Where was the Grand Inquisitor? What was the building called? One of my favorite buildings?
The Inquisitorius.
Oh, man, that's still incredible. But where, do we know what planet that's on? Or is that still unknown?
I'm sure you could find that information. I'm not sure if it's been canonically confirmed. I imagine it has been, like in one of the Jedi Survivor or Fallen Order games. But the
Fortress Inquisitorius on the shadowy moon Nur. Okay, so it is known.
Something caught his eye. What's up?
Could this be Tantus? Could the moon? It could be a moon of Nur. This is the moon. I am looking at the moon. It looks just very green and very. No, that's a water planet. That the it's all water and it just sticks up mm-hmm. out of the water.
At least that's the region it's in. That's mm-hmm. what's funny about Star Wars planets is that typically if we've seen one area, that's kind of what the whole thing looks like, which is a funny way to put things considering like mm-hmm. Earth.
Oh, that is cool. Nur was first appeared in Jedi Fallen Order, and then it reappeared in Kenobi. Kenobi was not the first mention of it.
Oh, yeah, no.
Which, that is cool. Okay, wow, so...
Yeah, no, that was one of the comparisons that a lot of people had and complaints about Kenobi, is that
worse,
Kenobi
yeah.
looked ugly compared to what the video game was capable of, which...
Mm.
Yeah, it's a video game, so it gets to be a little more fantastical, but... You know, it's also Star Wars, so it gets to be fantastical too. So it's just kind of like, I agree with that gripe ultimately.
Wow. Okay. So I guess I never really thought of, like, I don't think right now Inquisitors are part of the plan and that's what they're trying to birth, but I think it's like a very easy side effect of this project. You know, it's like,
oh yeah,
force sensitive beings,
leftovers,
maybe kids
go,
like,
here.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, hey, we have Inquisitors now. So that could be a cool connection. And they're, I don't know, Night Sisters. I don't know. They're called like Second Sister, Fourth Brother, or whatever. I don't know. They're like very sim. Maybe, I don't know. It's just a Sith thing or dark, I don't know, thing. But that could be pretty cool to link up. But
I think it's just another tactic to take away their names. You know, to make them nameless and make them an agent, a tool.
True.
I think it's just easier that way.
It all goes back up to the Empire, huh? And everything, I guess.
Just what's the most evil and sinister thing we can do, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I don't know. It was a good double episode. Moving, heavy. We're probably not gonna slow down anytime soon with the heaviness. So gotta prepare for that, ready for that.
We haven't even lost anyone yet.
This episode made it the most real though. Like when Wrecker almost died, I was like, fuck, we might lose Wrecker right here, you know?
Not good.
Yeah, man. No, it was a good couple episodes, but do we have any last thoughts, or can I do the plugs real quick? You down for that?
I think, yeah, that would be
all
good.
Right. If you would, head to patreon.com/pennybloompod, where you'll find over 50 hours of exclusive content, all sorts of book reviews, comic book reviews, movie reviews, and early access content. The general public's getting this episode on Friday, but if you're on Patreon, you could have gotten it the day the episode came out. It could have came out on Wednesday for you. You know, that's how it goes over here. So now for other content, we record this pretty timely, you know, we've got the John Wick episodes that aren't due out for 3 weeks. They're up. John Wick 1 and 2. John Wick 3 is going to come out on Patreon next Monday, but it won't come out for real for another 3.5 weeks. So, like, we got a lot of stuff. And that's videos only. It's a lot of fun. You should definitely check that out. For $1.50 a month, that's what you can get access to, which is... that's huge. That's hardly anything. I would appreciate it greatly. Costs money to do this podcast, and I don't make any off of it unless it's over there. Head to Twitter, follow at Penny Bloom Pod, follow on Instagram and TikTok at Penny Bloom Podcast. I've been lacking on TikTok, but I'm trying to get it popping again. Most recent video I posted last night instantly became our most popular video, by like a good margin. Gonna stick with that. That's how they really get in, you know. First video back in a while, they're like, whoa, it got everywhere, keep posting, you know.
Yes, very smart, very smart.
They're like, chase that high again, please. And I'm gonna, because I'm a sucker. But also I've got a podcast to promote. Yeah, so you can follow on TikTok at Penny Bloom Podcast. You can watch on YouTube. Look us up on YouTube, Penny Bloom Podcast. We're there for you. Check us out there. Like and subscribe, comment, anything. Talk to us. I would appreciate it. Leave a 5-star rate and review, and continue to download wherever you might be listening. And I will appreciate that greatly. But any parting thoughts here on the batch?
You know, I just fear whatever the Kiners will tweet next, because if this is already bad, I think it gets worse at one point.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'll be looking, you know, and props to their music. Oh my god, I didn't say that.
Dude,
during the
I've been
the episode,
listening the whole podcast right now. It's
holy
just,
shit, are they it hit me in the middle of this that, like, how do you just come up with that? Like, I wonder what notes they're given, like, from, like, how much they know of the story and the characters and what they will do to make the music that'll happen for that. Like, I feel like they have to be pretty involved, you know. Like, it seems that they'd have to be clued in on a lot, right? Like, they
Oh yeah. Like, they know what's happening in the episode.
You think they get, like, maybe it's not the whole episode is like complete and visual, but do you think they get like a actual version of
probably
the episode,
some sort of preview?
You know?
Yeah.
and then they make the music, they kind of watch it and they're like, okay, now I'll make the music? That's, or do you think
kind of how I imagine it? It's probably different with every movie production or a show production, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, I saw like, they're joining a podcast. Story. I don't know, on their I'm kind of stalking their Twitter kind of, so I don't know, they were joining some talk show or something on YouTube and they were gonna talk. So I was gonna, I don't know, I was very interested to see if they give a little bit behind the scenes of how it is mm-hmm. made and stuff like that. Cause,
but be careful, Oscar.
Yeah, cause to come up with a theme song for someone, like it's crazy that like I'm hearing this music and it feels just so right for the moment and for the characters, mm-hmm. but there was nothing. There was no sound. They started that from scratch, which is like, you know, they have their themes to build off of, but they made those themes in the first place. It's like, it's crazy to me that is, it feels so right in the moment. And it just feels like that's what the music should have been. And like, it just feels, I don't know, like it did come from somewhere already, but I don't know. Maybe that's just how good they are that they make the music that feels right.
But I think that it's mostly, it's definitely a watching and creating music for it to a degree, because there's a great behind the scenes story for like Titanic, the score that plays during the scene where Jack draws Rose. The composer, I'm blanking on who composed Titanic right now, which is a huge fumble. The composer drafted James Horner. Okay, James Horner composed Titanic. He drafted like this little piano thing and he sent it to James Cameron, and I can't remember what it was titled. I think it was titled like Sketch or something. And he sent it to James Cameron, so he assumed that music was for the scene where Jack draws Rose. And he put it over it and it worked perfect. And James Cameron hits James Horner up and is like, hey, like that works so well. Thank you so much. And it's perfect for this scene. And he goes, that's not the scene. It was, that wasn't even the completed. That wasn't even the completed song he had in mind.
Just a sketch.
He wanted to compose it. He wanted it to be with an orchestra. And all he did was send a piano version of it to James Cameron. And James Cameron was like, no, it works. Like it's perfect. So like, it's one of those things where like, it's not a guarantee how all these things work, but yes, some of these things just happen. So like, that's, I love the scores. I love soundtracks, and the Kiners, all three of them have just been fucking incredible this season.
God damn. Yeah. It's, their name is very, very much deserved next to John Williams. You know, every time it pops up in the credits, or sometimes it's just them, sometimes it's John Williams. I don't know how that works. You know, maybe if they just use a theme of Star Wars, they have to credit John Williams. But then if it's purely the Kiner music in the episode, then it's just the Kiners. So, I'm glad that the music talent for Star Wars has always been strong. And the Kiners are definitely no exception to that. So, but yeah, that was my last thought, because I do talk about their tweets a lot and not their actual talents.
No, they're very, very good. So it's well worth noting. And speaking of music, I wanted to introduce a new segment at the end of the episodes on Friday. This is going to be the album of the week segment. This isn't strictly a recommendation. If you haven't listened, strongly recommend you do. But basically what I'm going to do with my album of the week pick is what I've been listening to for the last week. And it's just, if you want to check it out, you should. If you've already listened to it, you know how good it is. So that's just kind of how it operates. My album of the week this week, obviously last Friday, Beyonce dropped Cowboy Carter, and I've been obliterating that, but I'm gonna go a little bit different with that. That's the obvious pick. It also doesn't have to be a new release, as exemplified by my first pick here, The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill is a fantastic artist. Absolutely love her, and this is one of the greatest albums of all time. Rap, R&B, soul, just kind of all of it. So fucking good. She was a member of the Fugees, and I mean, like, if you know anything about rap, you know Lauryn Hill and you know the Fugees. So it's just, I'm basically preaching to a choir here. This is one of the most classic albums of all time. This is not, I'm not trying to break the wheel or anything with my album of the week. This is just what I've been spinning for the last week. So The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill, if you haven't listened to it, make it a top priority. It's so fucking good. You will recognize a sample used later in a Drake song, Nice for What? That samples it
in the Lauryn Hill. What's in the album? What's the
song? Oh, which song is it? I believe it is X Factor.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Googled it. Says X Factor as well. So yeah, okay, I'll star X-Factor. That one. Already. I do have a playlist of just all of your recommendations, and I can confirm. The people, Colton has very, very good music taste. So I trust in all of his recommendations.
I've been trying to broaden the horizons once more. So this is not a broadened horizon. This isn't a new album to me or anything. It's just what I've been listening to. And there's no guarantee what the album of the week will be any given week, any genre, anything. It could be a soundtrack one week. I don't know. This is just what I've been spinning. So y'all ought to check out The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill. But with that, we will conclude this episode of the Penny Bloom Podcast, and we will be back next Friday with the Bad Batch Season 3, Episode 12. I'm so very excited to cover that. I'm excited to get back into it. But in the meantime, next week, I believe we get to Season 8, Episode 5 of Game of Thrones. Winter is Blooming continues next Monday with the penultimate episode of the series. We are so close to finish with that, and that's a true travesty of an episode. We have great content on it. You should check it out if you've watched Game of Thrones. If you haven't, steer clear. It'll be thoroughly disappointing if you have any interest in watching Game of Thrones. Next Wednesday is also the release of Monkey Man, baby. Oh, wait, no, it's Green Knight. Is it Green Knight?
It's Monkey Man. Next Monkey Wednesday. Man. Yeah, this Wednesday was
Green Knight. Today. Or the past Wednesday was Green Knight. Yeah, this Wednesday is Monkey Man, baby. Let's fucking go. We're going to see Monkey Man this weekend. I'm so very excited. Next Monday, I'm seeing Chapel Roan in concert. I'm very excited for that, too. I'll probably do a little mini review of that also at some point. But we got a lot to look forward to. Game of Thrones, Season 8, Episode 5 next week. Monkey Man, written, directed, and starring Dev Patel. And The Bad Batch, Season 3, Episode 12, all next week. And we can't wait for you to check that out. With that, I was Colton Robertson, and I was joined by Joseph George. Thank you very much, homie.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Oh, and it's always a pleasure to have you. And remember, peace, love, and bloom, and always praise the Bad Batch.